What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs take another tough loss. Steph Curry speaks for the first time since injuring his hand. And Wes and I answer your Twitter questions. Hit us up with any questions you have about this team at hashtag AskLOWarriors. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Dubs, another loss. It happens. It's going to continue to happen, especially with the tough schedule they got coming up. But I'd say the most important thing that happened at Chase Center tonight was the fact that Steph Curry spoke publicly for the first time since injuring his hand. Not the most groundbreaking press conference ever, but still worth talking about. And our guy, Wes Goldberg, was there. Wes, what's up, man? You were the man on the front lines, as always, out there at Chase Center tonight for what was another tough loss. But I think the most interesting thing that might have happened was Steph Curry spoke publicly to the media for the first time since his injury. What can you tell us about that press conference, media availability, whatever they call it?
Yeah, so we all got to the arena, and team officials gave us an alert that Steph Curry was going to talk at 6:45. So everybody was like, all right, great. That sounds good, because we haven't heard from Steph in quite a while. There's been a lot of rumors and things about his injury going around. And so he shows up to the press conference. He's got a pretty large cast and splint still on his hand, to be expected, and mentioned that he's hopeful to return by the spring or something like that. So we're still looking at basically February or March, I think, is still sort of the timetable. So I don't think we had any breaking news as far as the timetable goes, but it was interesting to hear him talk about wanting to get back out there on the court, and that his goal is to get back on the floor. Like, there is no reason why he wouldn't play this season if he's healthy and he's able, right? So we've heard a lot of stuff about whether or not the Warriors would keep him out for competitive reasons or otherwise, and he wants to get out there just like Klay Thompson wants to get out there, and he's working towards that. But for now, he really can't do a whole lot of work with his left hand, so he's just staying in game shape with, again, the intent is to play at some point this season.
What I thought was interesting in his statement was, and depending how literal, you know, you want to take it, was he said early spring. And to me, that means March, not February.
Yeah.
And again, that's depending on how literal you take the term spring. Which for me, I'll take it very literal right now, which means early March, which to from the day he got injured would be 4 months overall.
Yep. That's exactly, I think, what we're looking at here, because he's going to be reevaluated February 1st or somewhere around then. But only that evaluation is going to set the timetable for his rehab. So he's not going to play probably in February. The doctors I've spoken with say that this could be a month-long rehab situation. He's going to have to learn to get his feel back in his shooting hand. He's going to have to learn to get strength back. He's going to have to build strength back up in that hand. There's going to be a lot of atrophy happening there in that arm. He was saying that he couldn't even really use his arm that much because he's got to be that careful with it. So there's going to be it's going to be probably a month-long rehab process that is going to keep him out all of February. And so, yeah, I think early spring, March, I think that's what we're looking at. That still is about, what, a month and a half left of season to play?
Yeah. And so even though it's just, you know, taking these guys at their word at the moment, we can kind of project forward that it probably means we'll see about 15 games or so of Steph and Klay together, which sounds about right, and also sounds like enough that it won't drastically change their lottery odds or anything like that, and it'll be enough time for them to get some court time potentially with D'Angelo Russell or Eric Paschal or whatever, you know, new pieces they've found throughout this season that they think will be useful to them in the coming year, so, you know, they can start getting used to each other at least a little bit.
Exactly. And it wouldn't shock me if we saw Steph and Klay take the floor, maybe not the same exact game, but maybe, you know, within the same week of or so of each other, just so that they can get acclimated. And again, that's probably the goal by the end of the year, is just to sort of get a feel for each other.
So I'm with you. You know, I thought it was interesting when they said he was going to talk, but then when he does talk, you know, pretty much the most interesting thing that he says is early spring. So we'll see what happens, when what actually happens. But at least for guys like us, we can kind of project forward and make our own guesses whether they'll be, you know, right or incredibly wrong. We'll just have to wait and see. But they did also play a game last night, which was, I don't know, something we're probably going to have to get used to, or at least the result is something we're going to have to get used to. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment, including Audible Originals. Audible Originals are stories created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else. Audible keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. You'll finish more stories when you listen with Audible and always be a part of the conversation. With a convenient Audible app, you can listen anytime, anywhere, and on any device, mobile, Alexa-enabled, Bluetooth, and more. You can listen at the gym, while shopping, in the car, traveling. Anytime you can't read, you can listen with Audible. Audible members are getting more than ever before. Every month, you can choose one audiobook, regardless of price, as well as two Audible originals from a fresh selection. Members stay motivated and inspired with unlimited access to exclusive guided fitness and meditation programs. Sign up for free updates from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post delivered daily to the app. Audible members can easily exchange any title they don't love at any time, and members keep their library of listens forever, even if they cancel. You can start a 30-day free trial and choose one audiobook plus two Audible originals absolutely free. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/LOCKEDONNBA. Or you can text LOCKEDON =NNBA to 500-500. That is LOCKEDON =NNBA to 500-500. Wes, the Warriors played a game last night, which I know is not the headline. The headline is Steph Curry speaking to the media and being on the sideline and just being visible for the first time since his injury. But the game was played against the Utah Jazz. They did lose by 14. And I know you and I talked about trying to do a stat of the night segment. It's kind of tough to do in a game like this. So we joked about maybe an injury update of the night. But, you know, I actually did pull one stat out that I thought was interesting. And part of what makes it interesting is the way the Utah Jazz reacted. Was D'Angelo Russell had 18 points in the first quarter, was going off. I mean, it was a Steph Curry type, you know, flurry. Three threes in a row, put up 18 of their, what, you know, I think they had 28 in the first quarter, something like that. 18
of their
30. And then Utah kind of realizes they don't have many other options besides D'Angelo Russell. Slow him down a little bit, and he ends the game with 33 on 13 of 25 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3, 8 assists, 2 rebounds. Still a good game, no doubt about it, but to go from 18 in the first quarter to 15 for the rest of the game is, you know, not the best look in the world, but again, it's, you know, when you're the only scorer on the team, that stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, and like the Jazz came into the night with the second best defense in the league and just maybe a hair behind the Lakers, who have the first best defense in the league. So they put the clamps on D'Angelo Russell. I think you nailed it. They saw him going off. I think it's almost like the beginning of a boxing match, right? You kind of feel each other out and they're like, oh yeah, they are just going to feed D'Angelo Russell over and over and over and over again. Let's just take him out of the game. And they did. And the Warriors have no answer because there's no answer exists on that roster. I mean, D'Angelo, yeah, in that first quarter, he was hitting contested shots. I mean, he had back-to-back three-pointers, one of which was just a pull-up, Jay, that put the Warriors up 5, and that was the biggest and last lead that they had. The Jazz outscored them, I think, 17-8 from there in the final 4.5 minutes of the first quarter. And the game was over. I mean, the game was essentially over. They put the clamps on D'Angelo Russell. They extended their lead. They led by 20-plus points at one point in the game. And we've seen over time that these Warriors have a really hard time battling back. That they do fight. They do battle back a little bit. They do come back a little bit. I think they got it within 9 or 11 points at one point in the second half. But when they're down that much, it's really, really hard to come back and win a game. And that's something that they've struggled to do now. They've lost 4 straight games. It's the longest losing streak of the season. I don't see that changing anytime soon, especially with another date with the Lakers on Wednesday. They're playing the 2 best defenses in the league back to back. And D'Angelo Russell is the only generator of offense for this team. I thought it was actually pretty striking. I want to know what your thoughts were to see Draymond Green in his first game back trying to fit in. It was a little strange, right?
Yeah, it was different because it is different. Yeah, exactly. Trying to fit in. And he ended up getting ejected later in the game in a situation that, I don't know, kind of classic Draymond. But at the same time, I thought the first tech was kind of weak. But, you know, it's Draymond.
Yeah.
Those things are going to happen. He might get ejected in the next 70 games. Like his first game back, he gets ejected, of course. But he found I wouldn't say a rhythm, but he found his spots. You know, he had a couple layups and stuff like that. And then the jumper, the Draymond Green jumper is, I think we can stop wondering if that one year where he shot 39% or from three is the outlier. It absolutely is. And
yep.
So, you know, it's he is who he is, and his value is on a championship team or you know, a playoff team, where on a team like this, it's, you know, there's only so much he can do. But yeah, him trying to fit in, like you said, was definitely interesting. One of the couple of things I noticed tonight also was, you know, the Pascal Donovan Mitchell matchup, which is great for, you know, the storyline and everything. Pascal has trouble against size, and he's going to have to continue to work on that. But we saw him take some mid-range jumpers, and he's just that jumper from a guy that size is impressive. I can't lie. And you know, I don't know where you land as far as analytically with mid-range shots. I ride the fence. I'm good with him as long as it's not your complete offense. But where do you stand? Are you completely against mid-range or what?
I think it depends on your game-to-game basis. But, you know, I'm typically against mid-range shots. I think a guy, you know, high efficiency mid-range shooters do exist, and they should take their mid-range shots. But to me, mid-range shots are for star players. They're the ones that get to take them. The Kevin Durants, the Steph Currys, even the D'Angelo Russells to a certain extent. They are allowed to take mid-range shots. You know, your Eric Pascals probably shouldn't be taking a whole lot of mid-range shots. I agree with you. He does have a nice – he's got some moves down there. And he's got like this nice little – he's got good touch in the lane, so maybe he develops into that sort of player. But then again – if you're the Warriors, I don't think you're in a position to be picky. I think you just take whatever shot you can get at this point. So in most circumstances, I would say stay away from the mid-range shot. But in the case of the Warriors, take whatever you can get, especially when you're going up against Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, no question. That guy is so damn big. And that's one that I'll never forget, when the Warriors had a chance to draft him and kept trading down and ended up with Nemanja Nedović instead. But that's a, you know, I'll cry myself to sleep about that another time. But Donovan Mitchell killed it as he usually does. You know, 23 points, 5 and 9 from three. The guy's incredible. One nasty dunk. Cool story with him and Pascal for sure. And it's going to be a fun matchup for years to come. One last thing I wanted to mention, because we're talking about the mid-range shots, and I'm intrigued by the fact that we're seeing some improvement from Jordan Poole from game to game. He's taking better shots. He stepped into some mid-range shots tonight. Had a nice little push floater off the backboard. Did knock down a couple threes as well. He's taking better shots, which is the biggest improvement. And by doing that, he's shooting more efficiently as well. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we have to look at throughout the entire season, is just the progress of these rookies and these younger players.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to see, you know, teammates and coaches sort of go out of their way to praise Jordan Poole, especially on the heels of some really tough shooting nights. I think there's a little bit of confidence building happening there. And he is more hesitant to take shots. We've noticed this when basically everybody's coming out saying he should be more hesitant to take shots. So on one hand, okay, great. He is not, he doesn't have as much of a green light as he once did. But at the same time, you know, he's doing things defensively. Like his growth game to game is pretty noticeable because he was coming from such a bad spot. Just for, again, you know, really young kid, super, super green. Every game he's going to improve just because he sort of has to. And so it's been interesting to watch him, you know, figure out where to be on defense. And you know, you'll see him make a dribble move that he didn't make in the last game, or try to attack, or, you know, find or deliver a pass that he wouldn't have made, you know, two games before that. So you can, it's pretty visible watching him develop, and it's been pretty cool.
I mean, one of my favorite parts of the night was, you know, he makes a great backdoor cut, wide open to the rim, blows the layup, gets the rebound, blows the putback, and then on the other end of the floor, gets the rebound, pushes it 94 feet to lay it up and in. Because, man, that was ugly, that first one, the two missed.
Right.
So to see him just go back and do it. But also on top of that, it's like, yeah, he missed those layups, but he also made a great move to get wide open and cut to the rim. So there's some improvement. And, again, there's, what, you know, 70 more games for him exactly to continue to improve. We had a Twitter question that was pretty interesting about D'Angelo Russell and his scoring averages. We're going to talk about that in just 1 minute. Wes, you had a good idea, and I want to jump on that to open up the Twitter phone lines, I guess you could say. If you guys want to hit me up or Wes on Twitter, any questions about the Dubs, let us know. I am at CTH415. Wes, what is your handle?
At WC Goldberg.
There it is. Easy enough. So hit us up anytime. Any questions you guys have, we will answer them on the pod.
Should we start a hashtag?
You got a good one?
Well, the one we used to do on Locked On Heat was Ask LO Heat, so we can just keep that going. Hashtag Ask LO Warriors.
Works for me. There it is. Hashtag right, Ask LO Warriors. So any questions you guys have, let us know. We'll answer them on the pod. This one comes from at R4Vel _. Still super early into the season, but Russell is averaging 26.3. How long do you think he can sustain that? And what number do you think that will turn out to be by the end of the season? Wes, I'll let you take this one first, man, because I got an interesting idea on this.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, yes, he can't sustain it because he just will have to. I mean, this is somebody who has made a career and earned a maximum contract by taking shots and running offense. And that is exactly what he's been asked to do. We just got done talking about Steph and Clay and the fact that they're probably not going to be back until March at the earliest. And so you just look at what this roster is right now, and D'Angelo Russell is going to have every single opportunity. It wouldn't surprise me if he finished the season averaging 26, 27, 28 points in that range. I actually expect it.
Well, damn, I guess my take isn't that interesting because it's pretty much the exact same. He is the offense. He's going to be the offense for as long as he's on the floor until Steph and Clay get back, which we all know is going to be late in the season. So I'm with you, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 26 or above. I mean, he averaged 21 last year. The way he's playing right now, there's no reason to think it won't be 26, 27, 28. And then let's say he's averaging 28, and then there's, you know, a month of Steph and Clay being back. Maybe that drops it down to 27, 26. But I think this will be – I think we're seeing the D'Angelo Russell we're going to see all year because that's what he needs to be.
Yeah, and look, he's got a deep bag of offensive moves and stuff. I mean, some nights it's all mid-range. Other nights, you know, he's making, you know, 7 or 8 three-pointers. You know, some nights he's just getting to the rim, and he's able to just work that part of his game. So he could score at every level. I think eventually Draymond Green will help him in that regard just from having another facilitator a little bit. They're going to have to figure this out where you are able to get Draymond Green the ball a little bit and work D'Angelo Russell off the ball a little bit more and give him a break every once in a while. But he's a pretty durable guy. And by the way, like he doesn't do a whole lot of on-court work in the off season. So I wouldn't say he's still working his way into playing shape, but he's not in mid-season shape either yet. So yeah. I could see him continuing to build on this.
There you have it. First time hashtag Ask LO Warriors. So use the hashtag. You guys have any questions about the Dubs, we will answer the questions here on the pod, hashtag Ask LO Warriors. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.